All right, everyone, welcome to the MMA OB Daily Podcast. It is Sunday, May 12th. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and that is Mr. Big Marcel. We're going to be recapping UFC St. Louis, Lewis versus Nascimento, 12 fights from the card last night. Marcel, we'll recap all of them, and we'll talk about this press conference, because I don't know if those people really qualify as media, my friend. That was really fucking weird. Anyways, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. Looking forward to talk about this car, by the way, to every mother effer here in the chat. Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah,
to you as well, obviously. Looking forward to talking about the car. It was a fun card, that's, in my opinion. You know, I didn't bore myself, so that's good. And after that, we have after this podcast, obviously, we're going to do the preview show for Vegas 92. So stay here with us for the next 1.5-2 hours, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like Marcel said, we'll recap UFC St. Louis. Looking forward to that. Got a couple of comments in the chat. We got Ray in the chat. We got Joe. What's up, Joe? Glad to have you guys here. So, yeah, let's get into the card, Marcel. We'll start with the main event to work our way down, as we always do. Main event of the evening, Derek Lewis knocks out Rodrigo Nascimento. Is that how you say his name, Marcel? Nascimento?
We just go with Nascimento, man. Nascimento, yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, but anyways, I call him Yogi. I just call him Yogi. That was my dog's name. My dog passed away a couple years ago, but his name was Yogi. So whenever I see Rodrigo, I call him Yogi, especially because my dog's a little fat. And then when Rodrigo goes on the scale with a t-shirt on, I'm like, okay, he's not coming in the best of shape. You knew, Marcel, when he's wearing a fucking shirt on the scale, that he wasn't in great shape.
Bro,
and he did gas out again. So
when he made his debut, I made the fight announcement picture of his, and he DM'd me to please use a different picture. So
okay, well, you know what, actually, that kind of makes me sad that, you know, he's, because honestly, I felt that way sometimes.
Yeah, me too. Training, so yeah,
just not feeling the greatest about your body or whatever. Yeah. But he is a professional fighter. He's got to know that he's basically going to fight without a shirt on. So you know, I wouldn't want to do it. I fucking want to wear a shirt too, probably, if I did it. So when I had my fight, I did have a shirt on, actually, my Muay Thai fight. But yeah.
I keep my shirt on for people to not lose their appetite. You know what I mean? So I always keep my shirt on.
I thought you were swimming. I'm like, yeah. And Marcel's like, no, I just don't go. I love it. All right. So anyways, let's get into the fight. Yeah. So, I mean, this is what I expected, to be honest with you, Marcel. I think I broke down the fight really well. Nascimento will get him down early, take him down, and then he'll get tired and Lewis will knock him out. This is exactly what happened, 3-round knockout. Anything you want to say?
I mean, I was happy there was a finish, you know, because this was a boring fight to me until the finish. I mean, Lewis tried to take him down in the first round. I was like, dude, is this the surprise you have for us? Please don't, you know, go for broke. Because I knew if he could touch Nascimento, he could put him away. At the same time, I was like, this is going to go Nascimento's way if we're going to keep doing this, you know what I mean? So, yeah, Lewis got the finish. I mean, I felt like the aftermath was more fun than the fight itself, you know, pulling his pants down, waving his pants in Nascimento's face, like, what the fuck was that? Then throwing his cup into the audience and then showed his bare ass to the audience.
That, I mean, I was laughing pretty hard. I'm not going to lie. Like, the thing when he knocked out Rodrigo de Lima last year, where he like took his pants off and then like went around the octagon, that was hilarious. And then this time he fucking mooned the media and then threw his cup at them. So we got to talk about this. I don't know who the fuck this guy is, this media member, but at the press conference he goes, "Hey Dana, I caught Derek Lewis's cup and he signed."
I was lucky enough.
Yeah, I was lucky enough. Can you sign? This guy's going to go like jerk off to it later or something. Like, he goes, "Dana White, can you sign the cup too?" Like, dude, I mean, come on, they got to vet the media a little better than this guy's. Like, this is ridiculous, Marcel. Are you kidding me? You're going to have guys that, listen, he threw it in there. It was kind of funny. If he threw it, I don't know. Like, let me ask you a question, honest question. If he threw it and it was right in front of you, would you touch it?
Yeah, and I would sell it on eBay and I'll wash my hands.
Yeah, yeah. I would you tell anyone though? Would you go and tell
Dana White? Yeah, I don't know, but I wouldn't say like I wouldn't sniff it, and I definitely wouldn't ask Dana to.
Wait,
to
the guy say sniffed it too?
He said it didn't smell that bad. He said, "Yeah,
okay. All right,
yeah,
bro. I mean, come on, it must have smelled like a sweaty like crotch."
I mean,
Derek's balls are hot again.
The only people who should be able to know how Derek's balls smell is his wife and himself, you know, and nobody else. You know what I mean? It's just weird.
You're slaying it today, man. You're a funny guy. anyways, the whole I don't know if you guys saw it, but the press conference was a fucking shit show. You had some chick saying she wanted to get branded, or she wanted to brand Dana White or something. What the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, on her back or something, she wanted to have something branded. And she Who asked if Cowboy could, like, yeah, and Dana was like, no, I'm not gonna bring you in contact with Cowboy to do that.
I don't know what these people are talking. It was so weird, man. Like I said, I don't know how they're vetting the media. Like, they deny some pretty good people, and then they let these people in. It's bizarre. It's fucking bizarre. Anyways, just came back to the fight. Yeah, I mean, Lewis looked amazing. I mean, not he didn't look amazing, but the knockout was pretty amazing. I'll say that. Yeah. It's a classic Lewis knockout. 15 knockouts in the UFC, man. You know, all-time record. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Hall of Famer, Derek Lewis, one day?
Yeah, for me, not. But I understand if they do it. You know what I mean?
How is he not going to be? He's got the most knockouts.
Yeah, the thing is like, yeah, but Neil Magny has the most fights. You know what I mean?
I know, but it's going to get expanded one day, and I'm with you. Like, because here's the thing, like, if you look at who he's knocked out, how many guys are actually ranked? Not many, right? Like,
you know,
Blades, Volkov, and I think that's it, really.
Adam, I think they should do an extra wing for something like accomplishment wing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something like that.
They're going to have to, because, like, a lot of these, like you said, Neil Magny is not a Hall of Famer, right? Right. But if he's got if he's going to end up with, like, what, 50 fights or something, like, how you're not going to put him in, too? So. I'm with you. Anyways, I think, you know, it's the time has come for us to finally see Lewis and Yarzinho Rosenstrike, right? Like, that's the fight, isn't it?
Probably not. I mean, the UFC could have booked that already 2 or 3 times, but they don't, so probably not. That's the fight that has to happen, man. I mean, how is that not booked yet? You know what I mean?
Does Volkov have a fight booked?
Yeah, he fights Pavlovich in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, maybe the winner of that fight, like, I guess.
I think that's a little bit high, man. I would say loser. I'd go Lewis Rosenstrike, man. That makes the most sense.
Yeah, it does. I'm just saying you're making a good point. They keep, you know, bailing on it. I just think I'd like to see the rematch with Volkov because he was losing that whole fight and then knocked him out with 9 seconds left.
Yeah.
So I would like to see that fight. But yeah, I think they're based on the rankings and based on just availability. I don't think Yair has a fight book, does he?
No.
Yeah, so
I would have known if it was, so no.
Got a couple of comments here. Hooper for a vlog. We'll talk about Hooper in a minute. Card was pretty good. Yeah, I was solid. I thought it'd be a good card. It was. What's up, Zach? Cut better or be on eBay by the end of the day. Zach, you're the guy who's always on eBay. You let me know, Zach, later on in the chat, in the Discord chat, if it's actually on eBay, because it might
be. To be fair, why would you have Dana White's autograph on Derek Lewis's cup? It's also weird.
I might as well get his wife's autograph on it. I mean, right?
Yeah, if I already asked somebody to sign it, I would ask Derek Lewis to sign it. You know what
he
I mean?
Said because Derek did sign it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh.
He said Derek signed it. He wants Dana to sign it, too. So he wanted both of them to sign his cup.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought it was funny, but it's actually kind of weird that he threw his cup at the media.
I have no problem with that. The guy taking it is no problem, but why would you sniff it, man? I mean...
Anyways, that's so weird. All right,
it's the last thing I would think if somebody threw his cup to me. You know what I mean? Let's sniff it. That's not what I would think. But yeah, maybe I'm weird. But hey, whatever.
Craig, what's up, man? Glad to have you here. What's up, Pato? Loki for the cup was worth nice money. I mean, especially if it's signed, I guess it could be worth something. That's probably what the guy's trying to do. It's like, I hope we put it in like a Ziploc bag or something so the smell's still there when whoever gets it. You know, so there's some weird ass people in the world, man. Like they buy like used underwear and shit. So there's probably some weirdo that wants to smell what Derek's balls smell like. You know, so why did Derek throw the cup at him? Because I think he thinks the media are a bunch of losers. Which, you know, is he wrong? Like I don't know if he's wrong. And we're part of it.
Yeah, but we can laugh about it.
Yeah, we can laugh about it. I just think there's a lot of nerds in the media. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. Like, I mean, I'm a nerd too, but. The thing is, like, I at least have some respect for these guys. Like, I don't know, man. Some of these media, like, at the last night at the press room, were just, and not even the guy with the cup, but that girl like with the branding was so weird, man. And some of the comments were very bizarre. I don't know. Yeah. Like, they did a great gate. They made so much money last night. They're going to go back to St. Louis. They'd be stupid not to, because apparently there's a huge market there. But hopefully, there's some better media there next time. I mean, it's a fight night, so you're not going to get like the top end media, but. Yeah, I have a lot of issues with the media in the sport, you know. And again, we're kind of part of it. I mean, I feel like I'm almost like an alum at this point. Like, I don't write, you know, full time about MMA anymore. I love the sport. I have another job, right? But you know, it's still my part time job. Go ahead.
Last Friday, I was like, I actually love MMA Junkie, you know, because they provide us pretty much with those early weigh-in streams all the time, and when they're not on location, nobody else pretty much does, you know. So, I mean, no big MMA media were on location last week, I feel like. So there was no stream. So it was hard to get the ways, you know what I mean? To see how some, it's that UFC account was posting. But yeah, man, I mean, why can't the UFC show us those early weigh-ins? Why can't they just let the camera roll, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go to the next fight. Joaquin Buckley defeats Nursultan Ruzaboyev. Unanimous decision. I thought he won the fight clearly. I mean, I see some Ruzaboyev scorecards out there. I don't know what the hell people are watching. Huh? Like, I saw a few.
Listen, man. I picked Ruzaboyev.
MMA Joey said he won.
Yeah, but yeah, MMA Joey.
Or was it a draw, I think he said, actually. 10-8 round.
I mean, a lot of these guys.
I had a 30-26 for what it's worth.
Bro, a lot of these guys are giving scorecards the way they parlay or the way they bet on fighters. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I picked Ruzaboyev to win the fight. He lost the fight. You know, the third round was as clear as day. He lost the fight. And also the first and second round, they were close, but Buckley was more advancing, had two takedowns in both rounds, you know. And he was just a more busy guy. So he won that fight. I had to laugh when he came up with the Uzbek flag, you know. He had some words with Nursultan during the weigh-in, but after that, they pretty much made friends, and he made friends with the Uzbek fans. By the way, worst call-out in UFC history after the fight. A fight he will never get, let's be honest.
Yeah.
He then shipped ways to Gilbert Burns, which is a much better call-out in my opinion, because he beat Vicente Luque last time. Vicente is like the close friend of Gilbert Burns. Burns lost to Jack Della Maddalena. So that fight makes a lot more sense. But man, listen, man, the Conor thing, even the St. Louis crowd was like, what the hell are you doing, man? You're not going to get that fight. So, yeah, okay.
No, I mean, it's not happening. I thought Buckley looked really good, though. I got to be honest, mm-hmm. man. I mean, he's looked really good at welterweight, guys. He's well-rounded, too, right? Like, against, was it Morono and this fight, he wrestled them. And then, obviously, he knocked out Luque. So, he's got power. He's got wrestling. He's pretty charismatic. He's good on microphone. I didn't like the call out, it was stupid, but I like Buckley a lot, man. I've always kind of liked this guy, to be honest with you, Marcel, ever since that Impa knockout, which was 4 years ago now, which is crazy. He's on a 4-fight win streak. I was hoping for a better call out. I think he should fight Jeff Neal. Like that fight?
I honestly expected him to call out Ian Garry, but...
okay, yeah. But I think Ian's going to fight Colby, right? It seems like anyways, right?
I don't know, but...
I don't know either. I mean, why isn't that fight made for 303? I don't think it's too late now, right? I don't think it's going to be on that card.
Yeah, and but plus also, like, man, Buckley, I'm still not convinced in Buckley. I think he does very well in welterweight, you know. We got to give him credit there, 3 wins in a row and good wins, in my opinion. But still, I have to see more, man. I have to see more. But he looked good last night. Got to give him credit there for sure.
I agree. All right, we got Michael in chat. The presser made me lose brain cells. I know. Tell me about it. MVP versus Buckley, who would you pick? I would pick I'd pick Buckley because I think Buckley would wrestle him. I would pick Buckley. Oh, MVP could knock him out. Ghost, what's up, man? Glad to have you in the chat. Zach, I'd do Buckley, Brady, or Burns. Burns would make sense, I think.
He called out Burns. Why not?
Yeah, it's a good fight. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. Carlos Albert, 12-second knockout over Menafield. Jesus. I mean, what was Menafield thinking, really? Like, the worst game plan of all time? Like, I don't understand why he was why he'd rush in against a guy like this with that much power. Alberg's really good. I think we know that now. You know, he had that one loss to Kennedy, but it was a fight he was dominating and then gassed out. Since then, he's won 6 straight fights, 5 by stoppage, 5 in a row by stoppage. He's knocking guys out, submitted his last opponent. I think he obviously deserves a top 10 opponent. Looking at the rankings, I think, Marcel, they're going to give him a big step up. I don't think it's just going to be a moderate step up. I think they're going to give him a big step up, and I was talking in the Discord last night. I think that a fight against Rockets would make a lot of sense right now because Rockets just got brutally knocked out in his last fight, and the UFC could potentially have another star here with Alberg if he goes and knocks Rockets out, which I think is possible. Rockets is a really good fighter. It'd be a really good fight. They're both strikers. Rockets has a little bit of wrestling too, but I think it'd be a really fun fight. So what do you think about that one? You like it?
I already told you what I want to see.
What's that?
Johnny Walker.
Oh, Walker? I mean, Johnny Walker? Yeah. That's the other fight, too. Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. You know, both guys are strikers pretty much, you know, and I like to see that fight. Also, Johnny Walker comes off a loss against Ankalaev last time. Rocky's also good. Also a good, how do you say that option? So, yeah, man, Menafield. Manafield, I mean, what was the game plan? Rushing in, trying to bum rush him and knock him out. I mean, Ullberg is too technical to do that. You know, you can't do that against him. And he showed. And, man, 12 seconds, I think, was a phenomenal stoppage by the referee, you know?
He walked up, he was like this. He had his hands up, and his body was like wobbling.
Phenomenal stoppage, man. Because always those guys who are, what's his name? Nick Behrens.
Some of these refs I wasn't too familiar with. Obviously, they're Missouri refs. But
let's give credit when credit's due, you know?
It's funny because the one ref that is not from there, Keith Peterson, I think had the worst performance on the card. And I think the other refs were actually quite good. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. Who's next for Zhang?
Suarez, I would say.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't sure what he was talking about. You could do Krylov. I don't know where the fuck this guy is. He just kind of like ran away. Walker, is he fighting Uzdemir? Is that fight happening?
Oh, fuck. You're right. Yeah. Good call.
Saudi Arabia,
yeah,
right?
Very good call, Gabriel. Yeah.
There's also Anthony Smith out there, but I think he's going to fight Bogdan. I think that's the fight they're going to do.
I could be wrong,
but it seems like they're going to do it. Do you have any intel about that one? You know?
No, I haven't.
All right, next fight, we had a fraud check here, guys. Fraud check alert, bing, bing, bing. Mateusz Rybecki gets destroyed by Diego Ferreira. And I do consider it a fraud check because he was biggest favorite. I do, and this is why. He was the biggest favorite in the card. I never thought he would lose this fight. He was destroying guys that are unranked, like Nick Fiore, Loic Radjabov, and Roosevelt Roberts, and then goes in here and fights a guy that's not ranked in Ferreira, but again, could be a top, like, you know, he's a borderline top 15 guy, a veteran. And, you know, he showed that he has no gas. He showed that if he can't knock you out kind of early and he doesn't go to his wrestling, that he's going to probably end up losing late by stoppage. He had been knocked out once in his career, like really early in his career. So that was always in the back of my mind, but I still didn't think it would happen here, man. For me, it is. And there's another fraud check too, which we'll talk about in a minute. But for me, it kind of is. I think this guy is just not as good as I thought. And goddamn, he took a lot of fucking damage in this fight. Like, I don't know where he's going to go from here because, bro, he took a brutal beating in this fight. And he's not young either. He's going to be 32 this year. So it's not like he's, you know, 25. He's in kind of his theoretical prime, and he goes and gets destroyed by a 39-year-old. So, I mean, I'll give Ferreira credit, man. He got dropped. It looked like he was going to get knocked out, and then he came back and destroyed this guy. Gets the bonus. But for me, this is kind of a fraud check. So go ahead. I'll get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, and I tell you what, for me, it's not a fraud check because I think Ferreira is a good fighter, you know, at the same
time. Sure, that's fair. That's fair.
I understand where you come from. You're very high on Rybecki, and you were 100% sure that he was going to beat Ferreira.
Yep.
And that's why you think it's a fraud check, because Ferreira's not even top 15 right now. So I see where you come from. Still, I think, like, Ferreira is just a very difficult fight for a lot of people. You know what I mean? He's like that guy. He's like that gatekeeper, you know, but a very hard gatekeeper to fight. You know what I mean? And, you're right. Rybecki should have won this fight if he wants to be anywhere close to the top 15. So I'm with you there. Fraud check is a little bit too hard for me. I think he did very well in the first round. And from the moment Ferreira kicked him off him with through the air, that was the moment pretty much the momentum turned in that fight, and Ferreira did very well. Good win for Ferreira, man. Dude is kind of underrated. I feel like he's 39, I think. He's pretty old already, but he looked good, man. Got to give him credit. Last time already knocked out Michael Johnson a year ago.
Yep.
Dude's always been around 15, 20, that kind of position, you know. And if you're going to go further in the division, you have to beat Ferreira. But, good win for him, man. And Rybecki, let's see what's next for him. But, not a good showing. Definitely not in the later rounds, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I was just really disappointed, dude. You know, I thought he would pace himself better. Like Pato was saying, when he fought Nick Fiore, he really paced himself. And then he goes in here, gets the biggest opponent of his career to date, and blew his gas tank in the first round. You knew he was done after I think it was like about a round and a half. He had completely ran out of gas. Where is this Diego de Rosada? I don't know, man. Everyone's talking about him being on steroids and stuff, EPO. I'm not buying it, dude. I just think he's always been a good fighter. I mean, he really has been. He's won a lot of fights in his career as an underdog. He beat Anthony Pettis. He beat Mirabak Tysimov back in the day. It was a big win. You know, OAM was a good win. And then the last two fights, Michael Johnson and Rybecki, two fights where he was losing and came back and won. So, you know, if you look at who he's lost to, too, Marcel, look who he's lost in the UFC. Mateusz Gamrot, who's top five, right? Top 10.
Dust.
Gregor Gillespie, who was top 10, 15 before he kind of just went fishing and never came back. But Neil Darius twice. And Poirier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are not bad losses. They're great losses. So he's always been a really good fighter. I kind of feel like I've underrated him a lot in his career, you know, and that's my fault. But I thought Rybecki was the real deal, and I was wrong, you know. So, all right, next fight here, Sean Woodson defeats Alex Caceres by hometown cooking. I don't think he won the fight, man. I had Caceres winning the second, third round. And the weird thing is, like, I thought it would be the second round the judges were split on, but it was the third round that two of them, or all three of them, gave to Woodson. I don't agree with that at all. I thought Caceres clearly won the third round. So what do you think?
I think it was a close fight. First round, I gave to Woodson. Third round, I gave to Caceres. And I think the second round was the 50-50
one. Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
So I don't think it was, for me, it wasn't a robbery. 30-27 is a horrific scorecard, by the way, from the boxing judge, you know?
So bad, so bad.
But it was 29-28, in my opinion. Could have gone both ways, but yeah, you got to feel like the place of where the fight took place had kind of to do with it, that it was, that it went Woodson's way pretty much, you know what I mean? But it was close, man. I don't see it as a robbery, but maybe a bad decision. I can get behind that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Robbery is a strong word. It was competitive for sure. It wasn't like it was one sided, but I just think a good judge would score for Caceres personally. But you know, is what it is. All right, this is a legit fraud check. Ding 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 ding, and we both called this one. At least we called this one, unlike the other one. Waldo Cortez Acosta defeats Rebelles de Spain, lopsided decision, just takes him down over and over. I mean, this, you could see this coming from all the way, guys. I mean, the guy had no experience at all. Like I talked about all last week. So many people are like, oh, this guy's going to get dusted in the first round. He sucks. He's been knocked out in boxing. He's going to get destroyed here by Rebelles. I mean, like, again, what is knocking out Parisian in, like, 15 seconds means nothing? And these other guys he fought were terrible. So this is about the worst-case scenario for the UFC, though. I'll tell you that right now. Dana must have been so fucking pissed when he saw this. They gave him no post-fight interview, Waldo. Not only did the hype thing get derailed, but it was boring, too. Like, at least, you know, in the UFC's eyes, maybe they thought, okay, if Waldo knocks him out, it's like, okay, Waldo's knocking him out. But he just laid on top of him. And I don't blame him, by the way. I think Waldo had a really smart game plan. It wasn't exciting to watch, but it was smart. But this is about the worst case scenario for the UFC because they basically lost their big boy prospect in the Spain because everyone thinks this guy's a fraud now, which I think he is, to be honest with you, Marcel. And then Cortez Acosta had, you know, just a boring-ass win. So, yeah, I mean, Dana White shit on the fight at the post-fight presser. It was a little harsh, but, you know, it was kind of the low point in the card, to be honest with you. They had this opening at the main card. It was probably the most boring fight in the card. So I want to get your thoughts on it, man. What'd you think?
I mean, listen, man, we said it last week. We don't know what we can expect from Rebelles de Spain once the fight hits the ground, you know?
And that too.
And many people were upset because, yeah, I put them in my parlay. Listen, man, and I said it to Adam as well, and I will say it here as well. If you were stupid enough to put them in your parlay, it's your own fault. You're losing money. You know what I mean? Why would you put somebody in your parlay, which is unproven in my opinion, you know? And you can take a gamble, but so many people were so sure that he was going to knock out Waldo, you know, but Waldo has fought better fighters in my opinion, you know. Yeah, the Spain, of course he had the chance to knock him out, as always. He even had that front kick in the third round on the chin of Waldo, you know, and Waldo was laughing in the way, but Waldo just did smart, you know. He did what Parisian should have done, you know what I mean? Take him down, keep him down. And of course they could have finished him if he wanted to, but I felt like Waldo is the kind of guy who can really frustrate other fighters, you know, by being annoying, like he did against Arlovski, a little bit too much, in my opinion. Here, everything was against him. The UFC wanted him to lose, you know. That's pretty obvious. They didn't even give him an interview after the fight. They wanted him to lose, you know. And then Dana shitting on the fight. Listen, if this fight goes 2.5 rounds and Waldo wrestles him, you know, and then out of nowhere, Rebelles knocks him out in the end of the third round, I'm pretty sure Rebelles gets a 50K bonus and Dana's happy. You know what I mean? Yep. So it's, I don't understand what did they want here? You know, imagine Rebelles knocks out Waldo, you know, imagine that happens. Then you have to give him another step up in competition, you know, and let's be honest, he's not going to win against anybody in the top 15 right now. I don't see it happening. Only if somebody's stupid enough to strike with him while they could grapple. You know what I mean? So dude has some amazing power, but has zero ground game.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously, I don't disagree with that. He just said, Jonathan Diaz is a beast. You know, his ground game's also bad, but at least he can have some cardio to go past 5 minutes. Miles Banks, yeah, great win.
And to be honest, a real technical striker against Robles, I think he can finish him as well, to be honest, you know, because Robles was hittable for Waldo.
His hands are down his waist, too. I know that works in Taekwondo, but it's not really great for a man either. Wouldn't be crazy to make Green and Carlos Diego Ferrer. No, I think that's a great fight.
Makes
I
sense.
Like that fight a lot. It's a great call out. Why Dana didn't have the same attitude when Gary beat Neil? I don't know. I mean, when Gary beating Neil was such a boring fight, and then some media members like, hey, it wasn't the most exciting fight. And then Dana's like, hey, you know, Ian Gary's behind you, right? And then they started shitting on this media guy, which he wasn't wrong, you know?
Because
Neil was boring too, yeah.
Because they have favorites. They have favorites, you know? And they don't even try to keep it under the table or whatever who their favorites
are. Let me ask you a question. What if Robles did the same thing to Waldo? Would you think he would have the same reaction?
He would say like, yeah, it's only a sixth fight, and he already defeated a guy who had already like four wins or something in the UFC. Yeah,
100% what he would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that was our consensus. We had two consensus dogs. That one cashed, though. That was a big dog. Yeah. He was like plus 200.
Ching, ching, ching.
Yeah. Sorry. But the next one, I got to give you credit on this because you were all over this one. Chase Hooper fucking destroyed Vyacheslav Barsov.
Crazy, man.
Holy shit, dude. I mean, this was – look at the stats, Barsov. I'm going to read the stats, okay? So the fight lasted a round and a half. It lasted 8 minutes, actually, in the dot. So – Chase Hooper had one knockdown, 62 significant strikes, 129 total strikes, one takedown, two submission attempts, 6 minutes of control. Barsov had two strikes landed. That's it. So the total strikes were significant strikes, 62-2. Total strikes, 129-2. I'll say this right now. The first round is a 10-7 round. That is a 10-7
I
round.
I saw you tweeting that. Yeah.
That's a 10-7 round. How is it not? He destroyed him in every possible way. Why even have 10-7 in the criteria if we're not going to use it? That's a 10-7 round, guys. The referee should have jumped in there multiple times. Keith Pearson gave Slavikov so many chances. And it's funny enough, you know, he does that Brazilian tap thing in the second round and they stop the fight. It's almost like a mercy stoppage. But to me, he actually tapped. I think he did tap. And also, you know, when Fedor fought for Doom, he did one tap. You don't have to tap multiple times. It's just one tap's enough. He tapped out. I'm sorry, but he did. And honestly, he saved him a little bit more damage. But let's give Chase Hooper some credit here. My God. And I'll give you some credit. You called it. Great call, dude. Yeah. You look fucking amazing. Holy shit.
I mean, I'm not gonna, I picked Hooper, but I didn't thought it was gonna go this way. You know, he knocked him down early, and I absolutely did not expect that. I thought he would be dominant on the ground. You know, he was, but after knocking him down, and dude, this was like a complete Chase Hooper performance, amazing performance by him, man. And I think Faber gave some good advice to Slava, man, in between rounds. He was like, dude, you have to respect Hooper's power in the striking. And I think Borshev didn't respect Hooper as a striker before the fight, you know. And once he got hit with the power, it was too late for him, you know. I think Hooper did amazing, man. It was one of the best performances of the card and one of the best performances of Hooper's career, in my opinion. And it's fun to see, man. He's still a super young guy. You know, I think he's 24 or something, or 23. And he has so much experience now. I always thought that the UFC signed him too early. You know what I mean? But yeah, if you can show this, and I think he will get better down the way. So great win for Hooper, man, which deserved a bonus, in my opinion.
I don't know how he didn't get a bonus. They should have given him extra bonuses in this card. Come on. Like, they did. Dana's bragging about how much money they made, and then they're like, yeah, we gave the normal bonuses. Like, come on, guys. Come on. Well, should have talked to Dana and apologized, saying he can do it against Font. Maybe. I mean, I also thought it was a tap. It looked like one. First two decisions were suspect. We'll talk about those in a sec. If Chael tapped, so did Slava. Yep. Looked like Slava tried to find Chase's hip. I don't know. It looked like a tap to me, personally. What do you think? Do you think it was a tap? I think it was.
I mean, I was watching it, and I thought it was a tap. Then I see the replay, and I see Slava doing this, and he was grabbing something. But still, if you grab, you go this, I would say, you know, and you don't go this, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I think it was a justified stoppage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Esteban Ribovic destroys Terence McKinney with a head kick in 37 seconds and doesn't get a bonus.
Crazy.
How does he not get a bonus? Tell me how.
I have no idea. This was like a 100% sure bonus to me, you know. Great knockout from him. And man, so many people always shitting on Terence McKinney. Dude came to the socials afterwards and congratulated Ribovic on a great win, man. That dude, Terence is a solid dude, you know. I know he's not probably going to attack any top 15 because he's super entertaining, but he loves openings and he gets it. It's finished or finished. with Terrence McKinney all the time, you know. But I give Terrence some credit, man. He's a good dude.
He got knocked out
by the better fighter, in my opinion. Ribovic is really good. I like his style a lot. We both like Ribovic a lot here on the show. So yeah, great knockout, man.
Yeah, no, it was fucking phenomenal, dude. I think he deserved a bonus. Like, I don't know how you don't give him one. That's ridiculous. They should have given out 4 bonuses plus a fight of the night. They should have did that.
I agree.
Tabitha Ricci split decision over Tisha Pennington. I didn't think she won. I thought Pennington won. Who'd you think won?
I think it, again, was close, you know, and you could give it to Pennington. I think Pennington was more like, how do you say that? She did very well, much better than I expected, pretty much, you know. And Ricci is the kind of girl who is too many times in close fights. And actually, Pennington is the same, because Pennington lost her last 2 now by split decision. And Ricci lost her last one by split decision, and now she won by split decision. These are girls who are around the top 15, but they cannot get over that split close decision hurdle. You know what I mean?
So I actually looked at Pennington's record last night and decisions. So she's had 16 UFC fights. She's 9-7 overall, but in fights that have gone decision, 7-7. So you're flipping a coin when the judges are involved in her fights. And that's why I wasn't super confident last week. I was like, I'm picking her. I thought she won, man. I really did. But, you know, I wasn't super, super confident. Just her style. She doesn't do a lot of damage, right? She, like, throws a lot of shots, but they're not damaging shots.
It's more volume than damage, yeah.
I just don't know what Pennington or Ricci did to win the fight. Ricci, to me, wasn't that effective either. So, but again, the UFC's got their favorites too, right? So they were happy Ricci won. I'm sure they were happy that she won. You know, and I'm sure her boyfriend was happy. Callum Walsh.
Is that his name? Walsh, yeah. He was cage side, yeah.
Yeah. Next fight of the night, dude. I'm telling you right now, if you asked me what the fight of the night was in the card, I would have never picked this fight heading into it. But my God, what a fight it was. Trey Waters defeats Billy Ray Goff by unanimous decision. Hell of a fight. I thought Waters won, but it was super close. I know a lot of people thought Goff won, which is fair, because I think it was a really close fight, personally. But I thought Waters edged it out, because I think he did bigger shots. Like, I know Goff landed more overall, and he walked forward more, so I could see why you give it to him. But to me, Waters did the more damaging shots. But my God, I mean, it was a hell of a fight. And the fact that these guys kept going for 50 minutes, didn't fall down, didn't give up, is pretty incredible. So great win for Waters. I don't think Goff's stock goes down at all, though. You know, he lost, but I think his stock goes up, right?
Billy Goff's a fucking dog, man.
He is, man.
Like I said in the Discord, man, this dude in high school beating all the nerds and fucking all the pussy. You know what I mean? That's the way he looks to me. I like his style a lot, man. He goes forward. He keeps getting into in your face. Really exciting style to watch. Waters could use his high difference good against Goff. You know, he didn't get touched too much. But, man, they're both kind of gassing at the end of the second round, because it was like a high-paced fight. I think it was a fun fight. 30-27 is too much for me for Waters. I gave it 29-28. And I think it was a much closer fight than a lot of people thought it was, you know. And where a lot of people were the 30-27 Waters as well. I love the fight, you know, and we both picked the right guy. We both picked Waters by decision, I think, last week. But I think we both can say we didn't expect this fight to go this way. You know what I mean?
No. I thought he would just, like, kind of outpoint him, but I didn't think it'd be a war like this. But, I think both guys' stock went up. Like, I really do.
Yeah. Personally. Very fun fight.
Next fight here, Charles Johnson. I did pick this one as a dog, Marcel over Jake Hadley. To me, this was kind of an easy pick. I mean, fighting at home in a fight that's going the distance, you think he's going to get the decision, and he did. I thought it was close, though. I'll say that. You know, I think it was a close fight. Went down to the third round. He won the fight, though, unanimously. I don't think you have a problem with it, right?
I have no problem with it. At the same time, I could see Hadley winning the fight. I think one was clearly Hadley. Second round, clearly Johnson. And third round was to pick him, in my opinion. You know, they went with Johnson. I have no problem with it at all. If they went with Hadley, would have no problem with it at all. It was a close fight. It was a fun fight as well to watch. Both guys were, like, very competitive with each other, as we suspected. Fun fight, man. Yeah,
I agree. And then opening of the card, Veronica Hardy, Dan's wife, gets the win over JJ Aldrich. Another competitive fight, but I think the judges got this one right, because I think Hardy won the first 2 rounds, and then Aldrich finally did something in the third round. They're not calling it a knockdown, by the way. It looked like a knockdown.
It was, in my opinion.
I don't know how they're not calling it a knockdown.
I mean, they also didn't call the knockdown with Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway. They're just a bunch of idiots. But
I don't understand what the criteria is anymore for a knockdown. That's why these stats, I mean, like, we have to trust them, because we don't have any other stats.
But they're kind of questionable. we're just going with our own view, you know what I mean? I think Hardy did enough to win the first two rounds. I know Aldridge tried to control her against the cage, but I think Hardy landed the shots that had more impact, and that's why she won the first two rounds. Third round, clear round for JJ Aldridge. Didn't do enough to get a 10-8 to get her the draw. Yeah, good win for Veronica Hardy. I think Dan had the Hardy next side to Octagon. So, yeah, good win.
Yep, agreed. All right, so that's the card. UFC St. Louis. We got a couple comments here.
Yeah.
Was that legal knee, Goff Waters? Maybe. I have to watch it back.
Bro, that kick from Nursultan, I guess.
That looked like an illegal kick. I don't know. And they even stopped the fight, so why not take a point then at that point? It's kind of weird. Thought to the post. We already talked about Pato. There's just
a bunch of dumbass. Beginning.
Yeah, we'll get it. Yeah, exactly. We'll take a few other comments in this card. I'll ask you why the stock went up and down. Card out of 10, I would say 7. Is that fair? 7?
A 7, yeah. I'd give a 7. Okay. Yeah. A good 7.
Yeah, like an above average card. I would say that. Any other comments, guys? Throw them in here.
We're
going to get the UFC Vegas 92.
What did you think about Dana saying that the Apex is going to.
He's long.
Gonna, yeah, you think it's not going to go?
I mean, it makes sense to go because they're making more money on the road, but yeah. I don't trust him anymore, really.
Who does?
Because this stuff, it's hard to trust them, right? So
I trust my 2-year-old niece more than they know. So, yeah.
I apologize last week. I missed some comments at the end. The chat didn't refresh for me. That's my fault, I guess. I mean, my computer's kind of slow too. But if anyone has any comments, tell them. Tell me right now, and I'll read them out.
What did you think about, by the way, they're giving Matt Brown
a
part? I love
cool.
That.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, Matt's again, you know, is he a Hall of Famer? Probably not, but he should be one. There's got to be another wing they got to create for, like, these guys that were just really exciting fighters, you know?
I'm with you.
They aren't legends. Like, he's not a legend, but he's, like, very good fighter, you know?
Yeah, also the word legend gets way too much put in these days, you know. You a legend to me is an Anderson Silva, GSP, you know. But Matt Brown, he's like a mainstay, a great fighter, you know. And
I like that word. You always use that word,
yeah.
Mainstay. You like that,
yeah, word. And that's respectful, yeah.
Sure, it is. A couple of comments, thoughts on Matt Claney. Was it on 300? It's worthwhile complaining. He should have been in that card. He probably should have fought Jim Miller instead of Bobby Green. That would have been a more competitive fight, too, I think. Matt to the Hall of Fame. We just talked about it. I mean, it's possible. I don't. I would say probably not personally, but again, there might be something for these mainstays, like Marcel said.
Yeah, we also have to keep in mind it's the UFC Hall of Fame. You know, it's not the MMA Hall of Fame. It's the UFC Hall of Fame. So,
and there's no one voting on it. It's just whoever Dana and
exactly.
Hunter Campbell and Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard won in.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the Khabib reports about tax evasion?
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah. I don't know what to think about it, honestly. Same. All right, let's end this podcast now. We'll get to the UFC Vegas 92. Wow, it's crazy. I won't say UFC Vegas 100. We'll get to that preview in a second here. So appreciate you guys joining us. Just give me a second here. I'll tweet out the new podcast. We'll talk to you guys in a minute. We'll break down UFC Vegas 92.